Welcome to the Tucson and Tucson's new favorite food show, the Tucson Tasty Show. I'm your host, Wesley Source, here with one of my favorite people, Pastor John McClain of the Common Good Radio Show. Today we have Ian. He is one of the owners of Vera Earl Ranch and Vera Earl Premium Beef, or operators, right? How you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having us.
Outstanding. And how you doing today, John?
I'm doing great. I mean, I'm like usual. I'm excited. Like, one, this, you know, this being the third episode of the Tucson Tasty Show, you being the newest talk radio show host, and once again, you've gone above and beyond, getting an amazing guest for us to have on the show to educate me on the world of gastronomy in a way that I was very unfamiliar with and honored with, because I mean. It definitely seems like this organization, just the research I've done so far, they're one of the pillars of our community that's kind of hidden. So absolutely. I look forward to sharing that with our audience.
Mm-hmm. And you actually brought somebody with you today. Can you introduce her for us?
Yeah, this is Sonora Schmidt. She's pretty much my right-hand man throughout the company.
Mm. Outstanding.
It's good to have one of those. Those are important.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
So a special thank you to our sponsors, Kiki Roger with Country Financial Insurance, ERC Junction, and Veteran Rescue Mission. And hopefully we can add a new sponsor here and there. So going into this, tell everybody who you guys are.
Yeah, so we're started as a cattle ranch in southern Arizona in Sonoyta. Mm. It's called the Vera Earl Ranch. It's named after my great-grandmother and grandfather.
Nice.
My grandfather and grandmother purchased the original Vera Earl in 1968 and moved out here from Indianapolis.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And in 1977, my grandfather passed away, and my grandmother ran the ranch until she passed in 2000. Mm. It was a smaller ranch. And then, so in 2001, I moved down and took over the Vera Earl at that point in time.
Okay, very cool. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Tell us, I know a little bit about the beef in southern Arizona, a little, very small amount, especially compared to you. Tell us about what type of breeds do you have, and why is that important?
Well, I can geek out on you for cattle real
quick. Do it.
So many, you run the type of breed that fits your country and your climate.
Right. Hmm.
We are fortunate enough to have fairly mild climate, rolling grasslands for the most part.
Sonoyta, absolutely. Elgin area, right?
Yeah. So Sonoyta looks a lot more like eastern Montana than it would Phoenix.
Hmm. Okay. That's fair.
So we run all English cattle and some continentals. So we run Black Angus cows, Hereford cows, and we breed them back to Black Angus and Charolais bulls.
Wonderful. So what type of, which one's the tastier one?
Oh, they're all good.
Okay.
Mm. No, yeah. they have the Charolais are a bigger muscling animal,
okay,
more feed efficient. The Angus are a higher grading, fairly feed efficient, fairly easy to feed as far as commercially.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do with our genetics is find some of the happy medium there. So you get a heavier muscled animal that also grades when the USDA or somebody comes in and grades it.
Interesting. So I imagine obviously you know your stuff. Like, what is your favorite, like,
there we go,
type of meat? Like, for me, I love bacon, I love some filet mignon, and I love crab. What about you?
New York strip is my favorite cut.
Okay.
But what type of beef? High marbling.
I'm trying to give our listeners the goods, you know?
You're getting around to actually telling us, though.
I'm going to be a little political with you, but, you know, the Angus Association has done a great job of marketing, so I'm sure you've heard of certified Angus beef.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that doesn't go without having quality cattle to back it up and quality marbling cattle to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's probably your most most known breed that you're going to see in the grocery stores and whatnot. But, you know, you can accomplish that with various breeds just by selecting some of your genetics.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Yum. yeah. My mouth is watering.
I just got done eating.
I've actually been down to your shop a few times. Where is your shop?
It's in Sonoyta, last building on Highway 82 as you head to Sierra Vista.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if we're on the northwest side of Tucson, and that's a really long drive for us, where can we get locally? I mean, can we go into a restaurant?
Well, right now we're at Wild Garlic.
Wild Garlic. That one's a good one.
It's a great restaurant. And we're in a few restaurants in Sonoyta.
Okay.
We are working with Merit Foods now, and they're distributing a lot of our product to restaurants. We just started with them, so we're just starting to get introduced to some of the restaurant scene in
wonderful,
you know, Tucson and Phoenix.
Nice.
We started this. I mean, this farm to table company, which is Verrall Premium Beef.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we started during COVID three years ago, and so I had my kids were out of school. They needed something to do, so I had them do a ton of market research.
Love it.
You know, what's the public, what percentage of the public has had prime beef?
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of the public has had 21-day dry age beef?
Mm.
So they compiled all this stuff, and then we put together the business, the beef company, based upon a lot of their findings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's awesome.
We're still learning because we're so new.
Yeah.
And we've primarily been, most of our business has been Sonoyta in Southern Arizona.
Okay.
We're just now starting to branch out into Tucson and Phoenix and some of those areas.
Wonderful. Can we order this online?
Yes.
So where would we go to get that?
VE Premium Beef.
VE Premium Beef. I think that's about to be my favorite website.
I could see that. Yeah. Yeah. That definitely. That's right up your alley.
Yes,
for sure.
It is.
Or absolutely. You can call in. You know, you can call the store and place an order. We love it when they come by because then you get to come in and you get to pick out what cut you want. You can go through 20 New Yorks or 25 ribeyes and pick out which one you want. It's a great time to kind of for us to kind of educate our customers and talk to them about different cuts and stuff like
wonderful.
That.
Wonderful. So we're talking about having a brisket smoke off here to raise some money for Gap Ministries for John, Chef John. And I think I'm going to come down and get some of your brisket, if possible.
How many do you need?
Just for me. See, I want to get that edge.
He wants a special brisket.
Oh, brisket. How many are you figuring you guys are going to smoke off?
Oh, no, everybody else has to get their own.
Maybe we'll integrate you into that conversation. You know,
that's
maybe
a good
you can
idea.
be part of it with us. But yeah, it's definitely, that was our last show. That was, the idea came out of it. So certainly, we could definitely use all the help we can get. We want to do like, it doesn't exist, you know, a brisket cook-off, you know, a big kind of event for charity like that in Tucson. So it'd be cool to put some energy behind that, particularly with this being such a food city. And in my elementary level of research that I did, I saw you guys are pretty unique kind of in some of the stuff that you do. So tell us about your environmental stewardship and what that means as like an impact on stable ranching practices.
Well, it's become a philosophy within the company. So it's not something that we just talk about. It's one of the tenets that we live by.
Mm-hmm.
And as we expanded acquiring ranches and entering into partnerships on other ranches and kind of became responsible for managing fairly large landscapes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We took the position of we're not just managing for single species or for cattle. We're managing for the entire ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you take that thought process and you break it down and you remove just the biases towards one singular animal or species, then you look at the landscape or the entire where you're grazing differently. because it's not just how is this affecting my cows as much as it becomes how are my cows affecting this ecosystem that we're all trying to live in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we spend a lot of time with a lot of different groups. We have the leases on the Empire Ranch. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a historic ranch in Southern Arizona. Mm. But with that comes a lot of responsibility because it's also a national conservation area.
Mm.
And so we spend a lot of time talking to people, actually twice a year through BLM, talking to people about what we're doing on the ground, why we're doing it. We graze awesome. Amongst 20 endangered species. Have found a way to cohabitate with all of it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So it's beef with the backing.
Yeah, and it's cool. I mean, it just in hearing what you're saying, and one of the sponsors on the other radio show, we're part of the Common Good Radio Show, is White Stallion Ranch. And when Russell True talks about the White Stallion Ranch, it's a lot like what you're saying. It's just like a lot of people don't realize the overlap between the indigenous culture and the cowboy culture, in a way where it's just like living in one with you know, nature, you know, and how, you know, it doesn't have to be take, but it can be almost a sustainable regenerative relationship that one can have. And it's cool how you're integrating that in what I imagine a really large scale operation.
Well, that's exactly what you want it to be. I mean, you want it to be a regenerative. You want to constantly, we always try to do better, right? And always chase being better. And so part of that is, what can we do, not just with the animals, but within the ecosystem, whether it's converting over to all solar wells, eliminating power lines and end generators and stuff like that. I'm not saying we don't use them. We do use them, and there's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. It's just a path that we've chosen to take.
It's about moderation. Yeah, balance.
You know, we're dealing a lot with evapotranspiration and trying to conserve water by having storage tanks.
Well, thank you very much. I'm Wesley, your host of the Tucson Tasty Show. We'll be right back with Ian, Vero Earl Ranch, and Vero Earl Premium Beef. And you can find them on vepremium.com. Beef.com. Thank you.
We're going to get it right next time. No worries.
Yes. Welcome back to the Tucson Tasty Show. I'm your host, Wesley Source. I'm here with Pastor John McClain. And we're here with Ian and Sonora of Vera Earl Premium Beef and Vera Earl Ranch. How you guys doing? That was a fun break. We had a lot. We talked about a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. We ran down the street, ran a marathon. We did some push-ups. We ate. We took a nap, and now here we are again.
That explains where you went.
Well, it was in my mind. Sorry. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. No, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I must say, you'll hear it now that I've said it, and you'll listen to this back later. You got such this rich announcer voice when you come in. Like, you should be doing voice stuff for other people, because it's just it's I can just fall into it like a pillow. It's so delicious.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I mean that completely platonically.
Fair enough. Thank you. All right, so we're going into my favorite part of the show, and this is John's Tasty Bites. But we have a little bit of a change with this, because
a little bit of a curveball
because we have Vera Earl Ranch and Vera Earl Premium Beef. And again, you know, you could find them on vepremiumbeef.com. Did I say it right? That's
I knew you would.
And they brought some stuff in for us, but we're going to be making this at home.
Nice.
So tell us about the first cut of beef you brought in for us.
So we brought you guys three cuts of beef today.
Okay.
The first one is going to be the Denver steak.
Okay.
It's not necessarily one of the most popular cuts, but it is by far one of the most tender. It's kind of underrated.
Mm.
It's also known as the underblade. So it comes from the shoulder area of the chuck.
Okay.
But it's highly marbled. We cut ours at about 3/4 inch thick. And they come in like roughly 1/2 pound. So they're great, you know, single serving steaks. Yeah, but the marbling on them is amazing. And as I know Ian can attest, a little salt, pepper, olive oil, and just grill it up, put it in a cast iron, and you're good to go.
Interesting. I've never we're going to have you go on because you just talked about one of the type of meat, but I never realized somebody could talk about meat and confuse me so much.
But you were confused?
It was done. Yeah,
I'll explain later.
Yeah, you're going to have to because she said a whole bunch of words right now, but I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I'm sure as she describes the other stuff, it'll make more sense. But keep Fair in enough. Mind,
I'm just
when it comes
started.
To food, that's why we have me on. I'm like the fifth grader that we fill in on what's going on.
Can everybody that is on the Facebook page and the YouTube right now, can we see those cuts of beef
absolutely.
Talking about them?
So yeah, so you can go on to, again, you can go onto our website. Oh, I see. You're talking about this.
Yes.
I see. Yeah.
No
slow
worries.
Here. A little slow.
No. That wasn't completely
right,
my fault.
I'm gonna let Ian Vanna White it for you. How's that sound?
Oh, perfect. There we go. Just right up for the camera. And check this out. This marbling is absolutely incredible. And I would compare that to an American Wagyu, maybe. It looks absolutely incredible. Now, John, when you're talking about marbling with a cut of beef, this is not only flavor, this is going to be tenderness. And the way that it melts into the beef is going to give you that really rich, fatty flavor with the beef as well.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, absolutely. I always say my favorite line is fat is flavor.
Absolutely.
Interesting. I love that. So yeah, yeah. You're talking about my language.
And
so.
That's a Denver steak.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yum. And the next,
So the next cut that we brought you is a bavette. The bavette steak is also known as a sirloin flap.
Okay.
So it comes from the lower sirloin area on the animal. It's not as pretty in the packaging as the Denver steak is, but it's kind of like, I always say, like it's skirt steak's cousin.
Okay.
So they unfold real big. We cut our bavettes a little bit smaller. They're great for steaks. They're great to use for carne asadas. I mean, you can still see the marbling in that one there.
Mm.
And they unfold.
Amazing. Look at this.
And they're about an inch thick. They're great marinators. And I mean, you really can't go wrong.
What kind of a marinade would you use for that?
So our favorite marinade that we like to suggest for this cut is a honey, balsamic, and soy sauce base. And, you know, you can let it marinate overnight. And this one goes great on the grill. You kind of get that char with that slightly sweet, salty marinade.
Mm.
And then that beefy flavor. It's top notch.
Mm.
You're like a beef doctor. This is really cool to hear.
I think they call those vets.
Oh, yeah.
It might be. No,
I think a different type of beef doctor. I think the opposite of a vet, really.
Now, the next one, when I heard about this, and this is all first time that John is seeing this, but when you guys described this to me, I was like, okay, this is going to be amazing. Now, John, what do you think this is right here?
If I were to look at it at a glance, I would say it was a package of cheese.
Outstanding. So let's hear about this last one that we brought in. And so, why is this one so special?
So this
not
last one that I
cheese.
Brought you is,
not
is ground beef. It's not cheese. It's just ground beef. It's, you know, it's humble ground beef.
Okay.
But unlike the majority of ground beef that you're going to get at the store, so the difference with all of our cuts is that when we process, we dry age the entire carcass.
Mm-hmm.
And so by dry aging the entire carcass, everything that's going into that ground beef has also been dry aged.
Mm.
So this is 21-day dry aged ground beef.
Interesting.
And so
what is dry age doing for the beef? What is that for the listeners?
Dry aging, the process, like on a scientific level, those amino acids are breaking down the meat. So they're actually starting to tenderize that meat. It also is slightly dehydrating the beef. So it's intensifying the beefy flavor.
Okay.
Ian always likes to say he gets like a nuttier flavor out of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But so
100%.
It takes that beef, and sometimes you can even take like a lower grading cut, and then by doing that dry aging process, you're actually enhancing that beef further.
Okay.
So you're getting flavors and tenderness out of it that you wouldn't otherwise.
Ian, do you have anything to add to that?
No, it's pretty good. it's what dry aging the entire carcass. So every cut, whether it be a chuck roast,
right,
bavette, a skirt, or a New York or a ribeye. All of our cuts are dry aged for 21 days. So it's a different, you cannot find that at Safeway.
No.
You cannot find that at Costco.
Mm-hmm.
I would challenge you to find that at any butcher shop, unless our beef's carried by them, just because it's the entire thing. So it, the carcass does not even get cut on until it's dry aged for 21 days. Mm. And then we start processing it to make all the cuts.
Interesting.
You're making my mouth water.
Well, the thing that's blowing my mind is like, I almost feel like I'm in science class. It just seems like there's just so much literally, you know, science that goes into getting it to the plate and it being the most scrumptious, dilly-umptious thing that one can enjoy. So, I mean, you know, Ian, you know, you kind of told us your kind of your origin story of how you became this this evil villain of the beef industry and how you got into it. What about you, Snore? I mean, you definitely you know your stuff. Like I'm guessing, Ian, if once you got into it, like you're saying, you could probably talk all day about it. Well, you know, where did that come from, and how did you get to this place where you're now the Mrs. Beef Doctor here to educate us all of us laymen on the fine cuts that exist out in the beef world?
I mean, I grew up in the ag world. I grew up doing 4-H and FFA. I raised mm-hmm. cattle when I was younger, so you know, I had beef knowledge. Mm-hmm. Went to college. I actually went to college for ag, and I got into a completely different industry when I got out, and this job kind of fell into my lap a couple years ago.
It's nice when that happens that way, doesn't it?
Thankfully, yes. Yeah. It really worked out. Actually, I was just getting back into work from being a stay-at-home mom for a couple years, and the job opportunity popped up.
Nice.
And I was supposed to start part-time as just someone that was helping with ranch paperwork, and it kind of evolved into full-time and knowing all too much about beef.
Yeah,
so there's no such thing.
I've really honed in all of that beef knowledge in the past year and a half.
Nice. Awesome. Okay, cool. So. And I could see that. I mean, definitely just being, you know, in Ian's presence right now, it seems like he's a very, you know, contagious personality to be around. Like you start off, you just want to hang out a little bit, and then next thing you know, you live in his backyard. So
my wife might say different. She may not agree with you on my congeniality, but no, and we have a running joke within the company or at the ranch that everybody starts out part-time and then everyone ends up full-time.
Yeah, you get sucked in.
It's just, it's become a high growth, fun deal. And, you know, and we try and retain employees as much as possible and keep everyone around. And we have a philosophy that if you're going to leave, you're going to leave for a better job than what you have here. And if you do that, then we've done our job on our end.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
So, yeah. Awesome. And so tell us about some of the philanthropic work you do. I imagine that's probably tied in with, you know, the culture of what you guys do.
Yeah, that's, you know, we talk about tenants of the company. That's one of our big tenants. And we tend to concentrate on youth. We're very active in, obviously, in Sonoyta with youth and 4-H and FFA.
Awesome.
I was lucky enough to be a founding member of the Los Charros Foundation. We have an annual event at the ranch. It's called Dancing Under the Stars. We raise money to send kids from rural communities to trade schools, community colleges, four-year colleges. Each year we're raising $300,000 to $400,000, and we're committing $150,000 a year, roughly, to kids' scholarships.
That's awesome.
That's incredible. That's awesome. And what about the CARE program?
So CARE is not our idea. We're just part of it. IMI Global, which is a third-party verification company out of Denver, actually, has a new program called CARE, and it's a basically agricultural entities that meet certain pillars.
Okay,
community involvement, philanthropic, environmental stewardship, and animal husbandry.
Nice.
So it all ties together.
Yeah, so we were lucky enough to be part of that, and it just was kind of a natural fit. It actually taught me a lot about verbalizing what we were doing. You know, it's easy to do it. It's an entirely different subject to verbalize it and explain what you do and why you do it.
Now, how can our listeners get a hold of you one last time?
VE Premium Beef. Or they can call the office at 520-455-9317. Or come by and see us in Sonora.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ian, Sonora. That is Vera Earl Ranch and Vera Earl Premium Beef. This has been the Tucson Tasty Show. Thank you for joining us. I'm Pastor John McClain here with the one and only Wesley Source. Look for us every week, Sundays at 1:30. Special thanks to our sponsors, Kiki Rogers from Country Financial, Veteran Rescue Mission, that's us, and ERC Junction. You guys stay beautiful, stay tasty, and we'll give you some bites next week.